Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Happy NFL trade deadline day. We'll get to a lot of that throughout the show today.
Happy NFL trade deadline day. We'll get to a lot.
I don't know what's going on here. I guess that's me. I'm going to fix that right now so we don't do that the whole show. There we go. Chalk one up for me. We'll count that as an opposite of the mute for me. Joe, good morning. How are we doing?
Okay, phew, man. I thought I was really losing it there. Double Robbie.
I mean, who wouldn't want to be that?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of cool. It's kind of a cool effect. But yeah, it'd be tough. It'd be tough for 4 hours.
Just in case you missed what I was saying the first time, here it comes again. Michelle, good morning. How are we doing?
Doing good, guys. Happy November 1st. It's a great day. Great day. The healthy eating starts now after the Halloween sweetness that I had yesterday, a.k.a. McDonald's McFlurry.
Trying to get some of that healthy eating in before the holidays come around.
Yes.
That's probably a good strategy. I probably need to do that too.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, Caroline gave me like a bunch of stuff she didn't want, and it was good stuff. Like after she trick-or-treated last night, like Snickers and stuff like that. I'm like, you don't like Snickers? Peanut M&Ms? What am I supposed to do? You know, I hid it for myself, but we'll see how that works.
Oh, man. That's lots of discipline required in the days after Halloween. There's no question about it. Joe, it is NFL trade deadline day today. The deadline officially at 3 p.m. Central Time coming up later this afternoon. So still some time for the Titans and other teams to make some moves. Joe, relatively speaking, in most years, the NFL trading deadline, by comparison, when you start talking about Major League Baseball, the NHL, and the NBA, not much going on the NFL trade deadline in most years. There has been some activity so far this year. Obviously, the big move yesterday, the Ravens make a move to acquire Roquan Smith from the Chicago Bears. We've already seen Christian McCaffrey be traded. Kadarius Toney gets traded to the Chiefs. James Robinson goes from the Jags to the Jets. So there have been some moves that have been made already. I'm interested to see what happens around the league today, and obviously particularly interested to see what the Titans do, if anything, today as the trade deadline comes up at 3 o'clock. So I think you and I have made it pretty clear that I think John Robinson and the Titans should explore adding on the offensive line. They should explore adding in the wide receiver room. What do you think happens today with the Titans? Do you think by the time we're on our show tomorrow, have the Titans added anything to their lineup in your mind?
I mean, if you're going to force me to make a guess, I guess no. And it's not because I think John Robinson's sitting there like, yeah, we're fine. Everything's good. But the NFL training deadline, like you said, I mean, it's not like the others. It has at least it's become something. I mean, it used to, I didn't even know it existed, for a long time. I'm sure that he's exploring options. If you force me to guess, I'll say no. I want to say that in 16, 17, and I think all 3 years, I was at the Tennessee, and I'm pretty sure I wrote the column like, Titans must trade for a receiver, column. Like, Amari Cooper, what are you doing? Get Amari Cooper, and of course, they didn't. Now, then they drafted receivers, Corey Davis, and then, of course, A.J. Brown, and then they didn't have that need, but now it's back around to that. Although, again, offensive line would be my 1A. Well, that'd be my 1. That'd be my 1. Receiver would be my 2. Forced to guess, I'll guess no, but I feel like it's like 54-46 no.
Yeah, I'd probably lean no too, just because, I mean, look, there's a lot of things that got to happen. You got to get the right deal. You don't want to overpay if you're the Titans, and you got to, in some cases, maybe outbid other teams for whoever's available. So, all that stacks up to the most likely scenario being that the Titans don't do anything today. But if I'm John Robinson today, I'm burning up the phones trying to see what's out there. And I expect that's probably the case. I mean, I know right now they're talking about it on ESPN. They're looking at Kareem Hunt. I don't expect the Titans to be involved in that discussion, although some out there could maybe think that they will be. Hey, look, maybe that's the way to go. Maybe you really could go wishbone at that time with Hilliard, Kareem Hunt, and Derrick Henry. Maybe that's the easiest solution, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think if you're the Titans, you should be exploring other options. I know, TD went on Chase Willie and D-Mace yesterday and said, go do what you need to do to get DJ Moore, and that helps you both now and in the future as well. I guess, Joe, I'd be surprised if they made a splash that big, but whether it's receiver or whether it's on the offensive line, if I'm a Titans fan, I am really hoping the day that they do something before the NFL trade deadline comes up at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's someone you've never heard of, it's like that demonstrates, the urgency. Which, to be fair, I mean, I know John Robinson has. It's just, like you said, everything has to line up for something to happen. I thought the DJ Moore thing was – didn't the Panthers basically shoot that down like that's something they'd consider? I mean,
they did.
If you get an offer you can't refuse, right. Then you get an offer you can't refuse, right? But I don't know if the Titans can come up with a package that would, sway that. Look, he's a heck of a player. You would then have a number one receiver again on your roster.
You would.
which is good to have. But, I feel like even if it's like a backup-ish tackle for a low cost, like a fifth-round pick somewhere, I mean, it's worth a shot, man. It's another possibility, another person who can go in there. And I understand you can also go out there and keep, signing people off practice squad, stuff like that, and try to find someone. But, you might be able to get a higher quality player sending a pick to somebody. Again, I like the TD idea and Dillard. I'm not going to lie and say that I've broken down his film to tell you if he fits the scheme and if he's ready to start at left tackle for the Titans.
Just go to Jared's film room. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if Jared – I would assume that Jared has carved out a couple hours for that in the film room. But that one seems reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, I hope something like that happens today because, look, I mean, we've talked about it. This offense is just so limited, and yet right now they're 5-2. They're taking on the Chiefs this weekend. I mean, we've already seen the Chiefs make a move to try to bolster their team, so – I'm really interested to see what John Robinson and the Titans do. One of the questions is, all right, you can want to go add to your offensive line. You can want to go add to your wide receiving room. What are you comfortable giving up? Josh from Nashville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I'm just curious, which draft pick are you willing to part with for a player who's probably only going to be in a fill-in spot for this year? Or are you going to trade for somebody who's going to be a permanent fixture on the offensive line? This from Joshua from Nashville. And that's the other interesting part of this, Joe. Like, let's say you do add a piece to the offensive line. Are you more willing to go for a guy that maybe you feel like could be an answer for you long term and give up more of a price that way? Are you looking for just a short-term fix for this year that probably is not going to be a current starter on another team? Like, how would John Robinson go about handling that, and what's his thought process there? I think is another interesting wrinkle to this.
Well, look, you need fixtures on your offensive line. So, like, they've tried to draft long-term solutions on their offensive line, and I think they've got a good chance that they found one in Nicholas Petit-Frere, but the two before that they drafted high, one still on the roster, but you got openings. You got Ben Jones. I mean, he doesn't have too much longer, and then of course left tackle. Maybe Lawan comes back next year at a bargain rate, maybe not. But if you can get someone that you feel as a starter as long term, and you have to give up something of significance for that, great. And again, to me the harder part of that is what team is giving that player up. It has to be a team that knows it's toast now, right?
You would think so.
I mean, at this point, so but there are some. So yeah, I would say it's a lot more likely that you'd get someone along the lines of the rental kind of. I mean, still could be good enough to start, but not necessarily a long-term starter, sure thing or whatever. That's probably more likely. But if you can get someone, well, we've talked about, again, are the Texans going to trade, someone of significance to a team within the division? Probably not. If they were, then Brandon Cooks, hey, make the call. I mean, it's worth a shot, but. To me, it's a good question. I think you have to be, if you're John Robinson, open to the whole range of possibilities.
So, Joe, there's a crazy stat that was brought to my attention last night by a listener. Shout out to Dylan on Facebook who put me onto this, and I just calculated it up, and it's a stat that I don't think is necessarily that hard to believe, but it just is kind of amazing when you think about it. A.J. Brown this year. 39 catches, 659 yards, and 5 touchdowns. The entire Titans wide receiving core. Now, I'm just talking wide receivers, so I'm not factoring in the tight ends or the running backs, but the entire wide receiving core. 51 catches, 658 yards, and 1 touchdown. So that means that A.J. Brown by himself has more yards and more touchdowns so far this year than the entire Titans wide receiving core.
I didn't bring it up.
I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, it
sounds about right.
It's Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, Cody Hollister, and Mason Kinsey. Those are the wide receivers that have caught a pass for the Titans so far this year. And all of them combined are 1 yard behind A.J. Brown and 4 touchdowns behind A.J. Brown. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah. And, of course, a game like last game.
That helps.
Certainly, yeah, certainly it helps or slash hurts, whatever your perspective is. But
it's just
sounds about right.
I saw that last night, didn't I? I almost couldn't believe it. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What should the Titans do today as the NFL trade deadline approaches coming up this afternoon at 3 o'clock? Hit up your thoughts on our phone and text lines at 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of that coming up next. Make sure you start NFL Week 9 off the right way with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. And it doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get free bets back if your Thursday night same-game parlay doesn't hit. NFL same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. You've got the mighty Houston Texans and the Philadelphia Eagles, who we were just talking about coming up on Thursday Night Football this week. Yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles on the money line. I'm going to take Jalen Hurts over on rushing yards and give me A.J. Brown as an anytime touchdown scorer as well. But you can take it any way you want to take it. Build your own or choose from one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. However you want to play, you can bet the NFL on Thursday night with a no-sweat same-game parlay. Just sign up with promo code ROB if you don't already have an account. If you do already have FanDuel, you're all set to go. Just sign in to see what you've got. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3-plus legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. A max free bet of $5. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the NFL trading deadline coming up later today at 3 o'clock Central Time. What should the Titans do? What do you expect the Titans to do? Hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. David in Arkansas texting in says, I just want the Titans to show us they're making an effort to improve this team instead of sitting on their hands. Even a blind man could tell you this team needs holes filled. If they don't make moves, should we start questioning J-Rob? He values picks a lot, but he's been missing a lot lately. This coming from David in Arkansas on the text line. I don't know, like if they don't make a move today, Joe, is that telling you that John Robinson and the Titans are sitting on their hands with this group?
Well, look, if a move isn't made. I mean, it's like a tree falling in the forest, right?
Sure.
Making a sound. I mean, we don't know. Like, I don't have John Robinson's office bugged anymore. That only lasted for about 18 months.
He found it.
And he found it. Unfortunately, I can't report back to you if they don't do anything. Look, people are going to be upset. I understand it. I don't think it's logical that John Robinson is sitting there with his staff and saying, guys, all's well, huh? What do you think? Let's kick up our feet and enjoy the rest of the season. I think we're winning the whole thing. You know, I don't think that's reasonable or logical. So if they don't make a move, I don't think it will be for lack of effort or lack of exploration. I understand that some people are going to be upset and I get why. I do.
No, I do too. I mean, if nothing is added to this team, the question that we've asked the whole time about this offense of whether or not it's good enough to actually do something once the playoffs come around is a legitimate question. Now, Joe, having said that, barring a somewhat major move today, like I still think that's going to be a question with the Titans offense. Like if you're not going and getting a I'm not going to say an elite level wide receiver, but at least a really good wide receiver or a really good offensive lineman, I guess how much is that question about this Titans offense really going to change today with the move that they make at the deadline? I don't know. I mean, it could be better for sure. And then you've got potentially Burks coming back and some different things that can happen. But, you know, unless it's a big-time wide receiver or a starting caliber NFL offensive lineman that you can find today, how much are those questions really going to change in terms of this Titans offense moving forward? I don't know.
Right. Well, no question. I think any offensive lineman, again, even if it's like, who? Now remember, the Titans picked one up last week, which at first was like, oh, is this new LT1? No. But if they make a trade, you know, if you make a trade and you trade a pick for anyone who has a business card that says offensive tackle, and at least that's something. It's worth a shot. It's worth a shot to see if you can upgrade on Dennis Daly and put him back in a position of being a swing tackle, you know? I mean, I personally don't think that you have to, you know, go get a Pro Bowler to take his job, you know? No. And I think that someone who's there are probably some backups around the league who could be better than he is right now. So that to me is still, then you have more depth and you have possibly an answer. Because that's just the spot that there's no answers coming. There's no answers that would reasonably help you, you know, because you can always, again, go out and find people, but there's really nothing there other than a move today. Receiver, as we've talked about, I don't think it's a dead zone if they can get Burks back going, if they can get Phillips back. Phillips, it's a long time away now, that opener, you know? And, I mean, it's not great when a guy gets as banged up as he has in different ways this early in his career and he's that small. But he could be back and making plays. Burks could be back and making plays. And I think Burks will be before too long. So you can still be okay there, right? You have a chance to grow there and be somewhat balanced there. But offensive line, I got nothing else. I got no answers for you.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Dave from Mount Juliet. Dave, thanks for calling in.
Hey, no problem. Good morning, gentlemen. So I've brought this up multiple times, and I've been saying it forever, and I keep getting laughed at, and people say I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm telling you, we cannot fix the team that we have with a trade. We are in shambles. Now, I understand we are in first place in our conference, in our division, and in second place in the conference, and I get that, but it's basically based on the schedule. We haven't really played anybody too scary yet. So the problem is John Robinson cannot fix this for the mess that he's made. We have a terrible offensive line, a joke of an offensive line. I don't know how they do it, but somehow they are able to do a good run block. It's probably mostly because we have a Derrick Henry running back there. But it doesn't matter what kind of wide receiver out there. You could have Deebo Samuel or whoever it is, whoever you want, but if Tannehill or Malik or whoever it is has no time to throw the ball, 1-2 seconds, and there's people in his face, what is the man supposed to do? It's impossible. And so we have a big mess that's going to take way more than a single trade. Yes, we do need a dynamic wide receiver. Yes, we do need someone that can block for us. So we're in trouble. I'm trying not to be too negative. Still, you know, a diehard fan, but we are in a mess. John Robinson looks like he was a savior when he came in, but look who he was replacing. It didn't take basically anyone there with any kind of football knowledge would have looked like an improvement. And Robinson's okay, but man, the guy cannot draft. He makes poor decisions on trades, and I'm just really concerned.
Thanks for the call, Dave. Appreciate it. Dave, very concerned heading into the trade deadline. So there's not really much the Titans can do today to fix what's going on. I mean, look. Like I just said, like is a minor move today on the offensive line going to change this offense too much? I mean, I don't know. But I don't think that they're like some hopeless team out there either.
No, look, first of all, Derrick Henry is first guy with the credit, but they did run block well. They do run block well. It's a good run blocking offensive line. Look, I think Petit Frere, Davis going, you know, Ben Jones, Brewer. I mean, you know, those four, it's not perfect. It's not going to be perfect. I would not call that a disaster. I mean, I think Aaron Brewer, I mean, certainly has had his moments. There's times when he's been overwhelmed, especially by players with length, but it's not like it's been, I mean, like compare Aaron Brewer to like the first few games of like Roger Saffold at left guard. I think it's better. Overall, I'm not saying he's a better player, but I'm just saying I don't think it's a disaster left guard to right tackle when everybody's healthy. It's one spot, so and it's the most important spot for a right-handed quarterback, right? I mean, it's so. I don't know that there's a great answer, but I would disagree that like there's no way out of this. The way out of this is to be better at left tackle somehow. Now that I don't know what that takes. I don't know who that is. It's worth every effort that can be made. And look, if you can get a receiver too, great. The receiving core. Look, I agree with the premise that you can have whoever you want, and if you can't set up to pass, it does not matter. And we've seen that too much this year. But I think if you shore up the one spot, things could start to look quite a bit better, especially if everybody else stays healthy and together, because that's what happens with offensive lines too. Let's not forget that. I mean, offensive lines typically do improve through a season. Titans offensive lines definitely have done that when they haven't had, you know, disastrous injuries. And I think we're seeing some of that now.
Let's go back
especially in the run blocking.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Devontae. Devontae, thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir, you got it. Look, I just want to make a comment about the O-line. These people are exaggerating ridiculously. Like, if you think a team can rush for 300 yards and the offensive line has zero to do with it, you're just delusional and you don't know nothing about football. And as far as pass pro, I think, honestly, Daly is the one that's it's the whiffs that's really get you. Like, he can't hold up for 1-2 seconds. So I think the wide receiver core will be all right if Tannehill can just have a little bit more time, a little, you know, maybe match protect a little more. And that's all I got to say about it. People are exaggerating, and just, I don't know how the offensive line is grading out, but it's not as bad as they are saying.
Thanks.
But Daly is as bad. Yeah, Daly sucks.
Hey, thanks for the call, Devontae. I mean, look, great into that.
I pretty much agree with that.
Pretty much agree with everything you said. Look, I mean, in the running part of it, like, you can give, obviously, Derrick Henry was phenomenal on Sunday. But to Devontae's point, if you run for 300 yards, your offensive line's doing a pretty good job of run blocking, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Hilliard had, you know, 10 to carry himself. Yeah, no doubt. But again, we've talked about that before, right? I mean, you got to, when you judge an offensive line, there are two different jobs.
Sure.
Two very different. They are. They're just two totally different jobs. Titans have been pretty darn good at one of them pretty consistently. And I agree. It's one spot. I mean, if you shore that up, and that, and it's like 3-4 times in a game where it really is like you couldn't touch the guy.
And just get in his way.
Right, like, and also again, like, and I didn't see it as much, but in the game before, just seeming to not know the play a couple times too, things like that, like those complete whiffs can really get a quarterback hurt. So I agree, you know, shore that up, but that's easier said than done.
615-737-1025. We've got more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans. What should they do as today's NFL trading deadline approaches? 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. Get her thoughts on all things college football. The Vols taking on Georgia and coaching move made yesterday in the SEC. We'll get to all that coming up at 7 o'clock. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The NFL trading deadline coming up at 3 o'clock. Ron on the text line says, not going all in this year would be a disservice to Henry and Byard and the rest of the guys who stuck around believing in J-Rob and the organization. So as long as Henry is healthy and running like Henry, they should try to get a wide receiver or tackle. Henry is the one that can get us there. Henry's getting beat up and getting older. John Robinson needs to live for now. The future is not promised. Go all in. This is from Ron on the text line. I hear everything Ron's saying there. We've talked about that. It's just also kind of this past offseason didn't really fit that mold with trading A.J. Brown and other moves.
The only other thing I'd say on that is I don't know that these guys are still here because they like, I believe in J-Rob. I'm staying here. You know, I mean, they were drafted
contract
by this team and under contract and got paid a lot of money. But, I mean, I know. Look, I understand the sentiment, Ron, and I think a lot of Titans fans would share that. And, you know, no matter what, no matter if you are more like, we had back-to-back callers, kind of a little bit two ends of the spectrum, right? A little bit of, oh my God, what a mess! And then calm down; it's not that bad. But either way, everybody can agree that there's one spot in the offensive line that's problematic. There's not a great answer on the roster for it now, and that one's not. No, that one's not J. Rob's fault. I don't consider it his fault to stick with Lawan this year. I think that was the right move, and it's bad luck. But obviously, they'd be in a way better position to respond had he been able to draft better in recent drafts. So that's where they are. So you got to try to you know, to fix that here if you can. Someone who just now I've lost it. The trade proposal. Gosh darn it, made me laugh.
Chris for the medical staff.
Yeah, there you go. Burks, T-Rack, and 3 firsts. Yeah, go get AJ back. There you go. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Yes. So we've spent a lot of time leading up to this day talking about offensive line and wide receiver, and obviously so. We understand why we're talking about those two specific positions. Is there any other position on this roster right now that you feel like John Robinson and the Titans may be taking a look at today to add to the team?
Well, I was listening to Get Up, and they mentioned some good ideas. The Titans need a starting D tackle.
Yeah.
They need a starting safety. What else did they have? Possibly a young punter. A young punter would help. No, honestly, I don't like, look, could you be better at tight end? I guess. Could you stand to have like another good corner? Yeah, by the way, the moves yesterday, including waving Ugo Amadi, and there's a spot open. Yep. I do wonder if Elijah Molden is in line to return this week. So
I had
that would be
similar thoughts.
To the Titans.
Yeah,
yeah. So, but no, in all seriousness, I don't know why you're trading assets. Every other spot right now, I think looks pretty good. Looks fine. I mean, really, like, and again, I'm not opposed to the idea of a real number one receiver. It's good to have them. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah,
I'm in favor of having a real number one receiver, but receiver could possibly maybe be okay this year. Left tackle, I don't see it. That's it.
LD from McMinnville on the text line says, yesterday Jared said they should go out and get a number two quarterback for the remainder of the season. What are your thoughts on that?
So wait a minute now. By the way, did Jared – I wasn't able to listen much. Did Jared say that this is a controversy? I mean, Malik Willis is 1-0.
He did not say that.
Malik Willis 1-0 starting as quarterback. So I assume this is a controversy.
No, I pointed it out. Greatest winning percentage, tied for the greatest winning percentage in history in the NFL. 1-0.
Yeah. But now okay. So does Jared mean that Willis needs a backup because he runs a lot? Is that what Jared's saying? I need to know the context of the comment. Yeah, look. Okay, but who?
That's the thing.
Who's your QB2 you're going to go out and get? And I mean, I'm not saying you couldn't have a better option than Willis or Woodside right now behind Tannehill, but there's no option you're going to go get that gives you any chance to do anything, right?
Also, you're toast. If they were going to do that,
if Tannehill's out, you're toast. You're done. Just end it.
Well, also, if they're going to do that, they would have done that already, I think. Like, this is right. That's a little bit different to me than wide receiver, offensive line. Like, I feel like if they were going to do that, you could have done that back before the season began. Like I said yesterday, I don't think Malik Willis is ready to be a backup quarterback in this league. I just don't think he's ready to be out on the field in any scenario right now. But, I mean, I guess you turn if you feel that strongly about it, like, let's say Tannehill can't go Sunday. After what you just saw with Malik Willis, are you trotting him back out there? Or are you going Woodside? Because to me, honestly, I'm probably going Woodside if I'm on the coaching staff.
Maybe. I'd consider it. Except, like, we didn't see much usage, you know, of what Willis can do. I still think you could look at it as a coaching staff and say, okay, we got to just do some things that take advantage of Malik Willis, you know. But yeah, I think after this, certainly you'd have to think about that. I think Tannehill's going to play too. But
I do too.
But we'll see. Sean Mack from Dixon, you're not serious, are you? He's kidding. I'm assuming. I assume you're trolling us. But he says Titans should definitely pursue Kareem Hunt, a stud catching the ball out of the backfield. Please tell me you're joking.
Hey, it's not an unpopular idea out there in NFL media circles right now that the Titans should go get Kareem Hunt. Just saying. He's available, apparently.
Poor Dontrell Hilliard. No one notices that he's good at football.
Hey, maybe that's what they do. Just the three. Look, I will say, I was watching Deontay Foreman run around the other day. I was like, man, just imagine if they had him too. You'd have that three-headed monster back there in the backfield.
That still remains to me a great mystery. Deontay Foreman just being out of the league.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I mean, even go back to like 2020 when the Titans brought him in. I was like, how's this dude just sitting around? Like, look at this guy. It's incredible, man. Running backs. So much disrespect for so many running backs.
Aaron on the text line says, Jared mentioned trading Caleb Farley for Blaine Gabbert. Jared apparently also mentioned he wanted Sean Mannion. I'm just telling you what the people are telling me on this text line.
Bring back Blaine. Bring back Blaine. Yeah, there's a big market for Caleb Farley right now. I mean, I don't know. Sure. Okay, I'm with you, Jared. I'm with you.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll also get back into Derrick Henry and the pace that he's now on once again after his rushing performance against the Houston Texans on Sunday. All that coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do, Robbie. And listen, right now when it comes to sports, it is all happening. We've got football, we've got basketball, hockey, and soon enough the World Cup. And don't forget some postseason baseball. And there's no better place to wager on all of that than Superbook Sports. So when you sign up, deposit, and wager all in the same day, Superbook will give you up to a $1,000 bonus. Listen, I think I'll give you a couple tonight. We got the Houston Astros. I'm taking them on the money line. We also got a little NBA action. I'm going to take the Chicago Bulls on the money line over the Brooklyn Nets. They just do not know what is happening over there in New York. And then also I'm going to take the Golden State Warriors on the money line over the Miami Heat. And when the sports world is busy, it is time to get busy winning money. So download the Superbook Sportsbook app or visit superbook.com to wager and win today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
They try and get with Derrick Henry this season.
We'll hand it off to Henry, and Henry up the middle. Makes a little move. 15, 10, 5. Did he get there? Touchdown.
Another big day for Derrick Henry on Sunday against the Houston Texans. Joe, we discussed a lot of Derrick Henry's day yesterday on the program. I'm running through some numbers. You know, part of the reason I got into this business is because I was told there'd be no math, but I've done a whole lot of math so far this morning here on the program. And
good
just the pace that Derrick Henry is on right now, when you start to kind of flush it out after yesterday, or excuse me, after Sunday in his performance against Houston, the pace that he's on right now, quite frankly, is a Derrick Henry type of pace. He's had 166 carries so far through seven games. That puts him on pace for right around 403 carries at the end of a season. If he stays healthy, 1,834 yards. And right now he's got seven touchdowns in seven games. So that was easy math. That would be 17 touchdowns. So you're talking 403 carries, 1,834 yards, and 17 touchdowns that Derrick Henry is currently on pace for running the football. And, you know, it's not the 2,000 yards that he had in 2020, and it's not the 2,100 and something that he was on pace for last year before he got hurt, but you're talking 1,800 yards and 17 touchdowns and 400 carries for Derrick Henry that he's on pace for. I mean, it just kind of feels like they're ramping him up. And obviously last week was a little bit extreme, 32 carries, over 200 yards on the ground. He got the ball a lot. There will be games moving forward where he probably doesn't run the ball over 30 times, but he is back on a Derrick Henry pace. And, Joe, more importantly, if you're a Titans fan, back on pace for Derrick Henry-level production, which, as we talked about, didn't know if we'd see that this year. And so far, you know, it was a slower start, but he's built himself back up to that pace.
Yeah, and if you push it forward, first of all, one thing I always look at with him is, how many teams are you going to be playing like in December and even in November who are basically just zombie teams,
yeah.
Right? That just don't want, you know, they're just playing out the string. Yeah, look, guys are still playing for pride. Guys are playing for jobs. That's the main thing that I think people forget sometimes when we get the tanking talk is every single individual. I mean, there are some stars who maybe, you know, it's a little different, but there's also incentives and contracts. But a lot of guys are playing to stay in the league, put good things on film, et cetera, et cetera. But still, you know, Jacksonville a couple times, which it wasn't that long ago. Where are you, Todd, from Jacksonville? Wasn't that long ago. We're like, ooh, showdowns coming up with the Titans and the Jaguars. Got a couple against them. Got one against the Texans. Like I said, Christmas Eve in Nashville, noon. It's a Saturday. NFL a single game rushing record? Question mark. Just saying. How many teams? There are some teams ahead that are, you know, that have solid defenses. The Broncos. I mean, look, the Chiefs. He's not just going to go in and just go nuts on the Chiefs. What's he going to do against your Packers?
He's going to run all over. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the Broncos. The Broncos just gave up 156 yards on the ground to Travis Etienne. Like, he can run on the Broncos. Yeah. I can tell you he can run on the Packers. People have been running on the Packers all year. And the Bengals last night gave up 172 yards on the ground to the Browns. Like, he's got some opportunities coming up to run the ball.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles are tough. But, yeah, the Bengals were – Nick Chubb looked really good last night, by the way. That's another thing. Like, watching Nick Chubb last night, I think – is that the race? I think that's the race. Chubb and Henry?
Barkley's still in there, but yeah.
You got to count Barkley in there too. Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. I mean, those numbers you said would be the rushing title. I'm very confident in saying that.
I agree.
And it would be ridiculous. I mean, I don't expect that to be the final outcome. But, you know, again, some of these games I just mentioned, you could put a number on some of those games. And obviously, and we've stopped talking about like his foot or his health, his age, anything like that. He just looks like, again, other than the absence of that, of the outrun everyone to the end zone play, he looks just devastating right now.
Well, I want to point out, like, today is November 1st. It was this time last year. We were in the middle of a show, in the middle of an interview with Corey Curtis, and that's when the news came out that Derrick Henry was going to be out for an extended period of time. Now, some people said he's going to be out the whole year. That did not end up being the case. But he was going to be out for an extended period of time. So here we are a year later, and think about the conversation we're having about Derrick Henry right now and what he's on pace for.
That's a good point. Exactly 1 year ago to get. By the way, which one of the, I forget. Is it Schefter who said
it was
Schefter. Absolutely
yeah.
done?
Yeah, it was Schefter.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Triple down
it's
on
like,
it.
No, actually. Yeah, what the hell?
I don't know.
Like, it's just bizarre, man. Just bizarre.
It was?
Anyway, yeah, a year ago.
Well, and it's just the
1 year later, he looks like Derrick Henry.
Well, it looks like he's heating up. Like, you know, Texans game aside, you know, obviously that was an extreme rushing total that he just put up on Sunday. And Jared was talking about this yesterday, and I agree with him. Like, he's not going to run for 220 yards against the Chiefs coming up on Sunday Night Football. I don't think. I don't know if he does. More power to the Titans. But I would be pretty darn surprised if they're able to have that type of rushing game again against Kansas City coming up on Sunday. But it's beyond that. Like, really, ever since the Raiders game, he's been just kind of building and building and building. And not only him, but I do think the offensive line has gotten better run blocking. You know, the question that you still have that we talk about with Derrick Henry every year, and I heard Chase Willendy-Mays talking about this yesterday too, what about the workload? What about the pace? I just said it. Right now he's on pace for 403 carries. Like, that's an astronomical amount of carries. So, again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not smart enough to know if wear and tear played a part of his injury last year. But you do worry about that. Like, can he continue to handle not only the workload, but you said it yesterday, Joe, and I agree. Like, especially toward the end of that game yesterday, or on Sunday, he took some shots in that game. And what's that going to continue to look like as he gets more and more carries under his belt at the NFL level? That's something you've always got to have in the back of your mind.
No doubt. It's an interest, but I think it's pretty clear how the Titans approach it. This is what he is. This is what he does for this team. He's going to get the ball. Now, Jared, I would agree with Jared too. Was that deduced from the film room that he's not going to get 200 against Kansas City?
Maybe.
Okay. Now, you know, I listen to those guys. I listened to Willie and Derek talking about this yesterday. The workload, and also Willie made the point, like, you have to consider, obviously what it might mean, and Derek was like, well, they don't care. But see, now I think there's two different things there. I mean, you can say, look, I say this about any NFL team, like any NFL team is going to get what they can get out of their players, right? Yep. And it's like they're not worried about 20 years down the road. But the Titans absolutely care about not losing him this year, right? I mean, good for them for what they did last year without him, which, by the way, maybe a little bit of a reason to give the offensive line credit. I mean, it is an important part of running the football. You have to create lanes. Like, if unblocked people are all over the field, they'll tackle Derrick Henry, right?
Yeah.
But they do have to think about workload, things like that, just in terms of, are you jeopardizing his season? Because if Derrick Henry is gone from this team, okay, then this team is not going to do what last year's team did. I think we could all agree with that. So, he's not going to get 32 game after game after game. I bet you the pace ends up being a little bit lower. But the thing is, another part of him having the rushing title, him getting a lot of work and everything, the Titans' defense is so good. Sometimes in a given season, go back to when they went to Lambeau a couple years ago. They got blown out, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember what Derrick Henry ended up with in that game, but I bet you it was a low number because it was like, there's no point. I mean, I'll have to go back and look at it. But I'm just saying, I don't think they're going to get blown out of many games unless it's Sunday. They may get blown out Sunday. But other than that, their defense is going to keep them in games to the point where the Titans could probably use Derrick Henry throughout full games.
Well, yeah. And, I thought also an interesting point brought up yesterday by D-Mace was, well, what about Dontrell Hilliard? Like, in terms of not just taking carries away from Henry, because that's an easy way to look at it in terms of, like, the workload conversation we're having, but just the offense and where he fits in, like, as one of your top playmakers. Like, can anybody argue against Dontrell Hilliard not being one of their top playmakers based on what we've seen so far this year? And if so, how do you go about getting him on the field and getting him the ball more while also not sitting Derrick Henry down every other drive? I mean, it's a great question for Todd Downing.
It's a great point. I mean, get him in the slot some, get him out there together some, and yeah, I mean, get him some carries, some work beyond just the normal third and obvious passing situations role that he has. I agree. He catches the ball well. He's fast. And look, I think it's nice to have, as much as like Deontay Foreman was a good, a good backup and all that, and it's good to have another hammer. I like the change of pace that they tried to get when they drafted Darrington Evans, just someone who gets to some spots a little bit quicker, right?
Yeah.
And that's what Hilliard brings. He just brings a little bit different look for the defense, like where they're running outside zone and stuff like that. And, I agree. Try to get him, 10, 12 touches in a game, I think would be smart.
Sean Mack from Dixon texting back in says, no need to worry about Derrick Henry's workload because if he gets hurt, they'll have Kareem Hunt to put in there after today. Sean Mack is playing chess while everybody else playing checkers.
Okay, so he was messing with us. Thank goodness, Sean Mack. I was about to mute you.
615-737-1025. We'll get more into the Titans coming up a little bit later in the show. Teresa Walker joining us at 8 o'clock. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on the Vols and Georgia matchup coming up this weekend, and also a coaching move made yesterday in the SEC. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.